Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Good morning and good morning. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. We're going to learn, we're going to laugh, we're going to have a lot of fun today. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do every day of the week, Monday through Friday, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your network, maybe someone in your house, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, who knows, maybe it's your coworker, but there's someone that you know who's starting on their entrepreneurial journey. Maybe they've been on their entrepreneurial journey, but they're feeling stuck. They don't know where to go. That's why they need to tune in to the Roundtable Talk Show so they can learn that information. But they won't have that information unless you go ahead and share the show, because as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest. And this lovely young lady, you have seen her here a time or two, maybe three or four times, maybe six or seven times. I don't know. But this lovely young woman is here once a month to share her journey and to keep us updated on what she has going on in her world. Miss Belle Walker. Belle takes organizations from friction to function by realigning structures and processes with business goals. As the only organizational efficiency engineer she knows, Belle is the perfect resource for leaders looking to recapture lost efficiency and engagement. Belle's approach leverages her engineering background to take a structured approach to organizational design while retaining a focus on the humanity and motivation of the individuals making up the team. Good morning and welcome back, Belle. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am always excellent when I get to start my week with you.
Yeah, and it's Monday. We're starting off this Monday, starting off this week, still close to the beginning of the month. I love to know what you've been up to. The last time I talked, you were launching a new venture. So what's going on?
I've got a couple things going on. So before I come back to that new venture, you reminded me, it was part of your introduction, that I've got a busy week coming up in July. I'm actually running a workshop for leaders with technical backgrounds who are looking to apply those engineering concepts to their managerial challenges. I see way too many leaders who put on that manager hat and forget everything logical they ever used to know. So I've got the Manage Like an Engineer, seriously, workshop on July 20th, but I said big week because July 19th is also the kickoff of the second cohort of the NFP Bootcamp, a business bootcamp for nonprofit leaders. And the first cohort was amazing.
It was amazing. It looks amazing, but I got to hear details. What happened? What was the highlight? Did you meet some interesting people? Are those same people? You know, I need details still.
Yeah, we met fabulous people. We had all sorts of different nonprofit leaders, everything from executive directors to program directors. We had an executive director of a 50-year-old nonprofit and the executive director of a about 5-month-old nonprofit. And we gave them homework. So when we say boot camp, we mean boot camp. You're going to learn, you're going to work, but you are going to make a difference for your organization. And so we got incredible feedback that the conversations we prompted had resulted in meaningful value add within the 4 weeks of the boot camp.
Wow, that's wonderful. And you're about to do it again. Now, one of the things that I always talk about with people is too often they're afraid to take any step. You know, there are cemeteries full of million-dollar ideas. Those people take their ideas to the grave, but they don't do anything with them. And I always say you can adjust, but take that first step. What are some of the adjustments, or what are some of the things that you learned that you're incorporating into the second version?
Ooh, that's an excellent question. One of the main pieces of feedback we got was making sure that we are careful about our terminology when we're presenting these concepts, because even though nonprofits are organizations, they are groups of people, and that when you describe it that way, that's the same as any for-profit organization as well. It's quite the turnoff when you hear clients, when you hear company or business as a nonprofit leader. And so being very careful as instructors to make sure that we keep our terminology consistent and in the language of our participants really goes a long way towards making sure they can fully engage with those concepts.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, so what does a nonprofit NFP take away from your session?
Well, we go into four specific areas over the course of the boot camp. The first thing we do is really embrace the identity of the organization and take that concept of brand from the for-profit world and really bring it into the nonprofit world in how these leaders interact with their teams, not just their constituents. We talk about management best practices, leadership best practices. There's some basic concepts that a lot of nonprofit leaders have never had access to. We go through how to identify key roadblocks and knock them out of the way. And then we round out with a really basic overview of all the financial details every nonprofit leader should know. So there's a lot to take away from 4 weeks.
Wow. I love takeaways. I love taking something away, and I definitely love learning. Now, Belle, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the incredible Miss Cindy Sansone Brough. Cindy is the romance whisperer. She is a psychic medium, relationship expert, playwright, author, and wife, and mother. She is the author of two spiritual self-help books, Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. Welcome, Cindy. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fabulous. This is just great. I love listening to everyone, and thank you for having me on your show. It's always nice to be able to talk about our books and who we are and what we are trying to do in the world, maybe make it a tiny bit better. I don't think we're going to change the world entirely, but I'm going to try to make it a little bit better.
Well, one step, one person, one conversation, that's a change.
For sure.
Tell us about yourself, Cindy. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Okay, I'm passionate about quite a number of things, and one thing, I am an author. I'm just also finishing up a book called The Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic, which pretty much sizes up, that I sort of fell into being a psychic medium. I didn't think when I was growing up, boy, I'm going to talk to dead people. Okay, I was already older when this happened. I was in my 41 when it happened. And I've been doing it a long time now. So it was something that, I got sort of a gift given to me. And then over the years, I learned to perfect it. And being a psychic, a lot of what you do is counsel people with their relationships. And so that's how I began to become a relationship expert and a dating expert, because you have to learn this stuff. And that's why I wrote my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, which is this huge book. It almost looks like a Bible. It's huge. It's 579 pages. It's a huge book. And it's about soulmate love, how to find it, maintain it, manifest it, whatever you need to do. There's 19 steps to a higher love, and there's things that we have to heal our own issues before we can have a higher love. This book came first. I think maybe Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships probably should have come first. Okay, sometimes we need to leave a bad one before we can get a good one, but it didn't come in that order. So they're both really trying to get people to have better relationships. My real mission is world peace, one soulmate
Oh.
couple at a time. Okay, it's if we can't make peace in our own home and in our own hearts, how can there possibly be peace in the world? So I've kind of classified love like a ladder, at the top being soulmate love, which is this heart, soul, mind, body, knock your socks off kind of love. that very few people maintain. It tends to drag down the ladder of love, sometimes to mediocre. We take each other for granted, sometimes all the way to the bottom, which I call cellmates, which is toxic love, which unfortunately teaches, you know, outright war to their children and to the world. And mediocre love teaches cold war. Soulmates teach peace, love, and joy. So that's really my mission. You know, hidden beneath everything else is my hope for world peace. So that's how that book came about. Why good people can't leave bad relationships kind of is self-explanatory, but it's a really complex thing because some people are just so good and they're the fixers, you know, and we think we're going to love people enough, give them enough chances, and we could fix them. Half the time I got to teach people you're not fixing certain people, and I call them the unfixables. They're manipulative people, judgmental, and not accountable for their behaviors. Those three traits make it a really hard or long road if you think you're going to fix these people. It's not impossible for them to change, but they have to earn a miracle. I try to teach my clients we're not miracle workers, okay? Like, they have to make their own miracle. And after a while, just getting them to leave a person that has made their life hell, has made their life difficult because they don't do what they're supposed to do. They make your life up and down. It's always drama and trauma with these people. So good people tend to honor their vows. That's the problem. They honor them too much and they don't know how to say enough is enough. So my job is to kind of teach them that. So it's all kind of linked. And I'm also a playwright. So a lot of what I've learned, I incorporate in my plays. And I know we have a lady here who's into radio drama. And I just did complete my first radio drama called My Struggle, which is about a 100-year Holocaust survivor who in 1909 didn't listen to divine guidance and has this horrible memory going back in his life of what he could have done different and may have altered a lot of circumstances of his life. So I was fascinated to see we have someone who does auto dramas because it's not that common, okay, a thing to do. So I try to combine all my interests together and they're all kind of more linked than not linked.
Well, we're definitely going to talk about it today, Cindy. I find it very interesting, especially since half of my friends are psychics or mediums or channels. But what's interesting to me is they always want to have these sessions and all they ever see is like, Sharifa, you're going to be there's so much money. You're going to speak in front of millions of people. You're going to fill forums and everyone is going to come talk to you. And I'm like, yeah. But will I have a man? Like, can I get married? Nobody ever sees that. So I'm like, if you notice anything, let me know, Cindy. But I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Chloe Vallatore. Chloe is a relationship and communication expert and a graduate of Princeton University and the Want Institute. She uses tools derived from Eric Berne's transactional analysis, author of The Games People Play, and Pat Allen's A Millionaire Matchmaker, Androgynous Semantic Realignment. In simpler terms, that's what I need, simpler terms, this means she helps people balance their yin and yang energy so they can get what they want out of their relationships and their lives. Good morning, Chloe. How are you?
I'm great, Sharifa. Thank you for having me here. I'm really excited to talk to everybody.
I am excited to have you here. And it's just incredible how things just line up. And that's one of the things I always say. I don't select the dates, the guests appear, the guests select their own dates. So it just so happens that today's topic, I don't know if David's going to like that or not, but we might be talking about relationships a lot, Chloe. So tell us about yourself. Who are you? What are you passionate about?
Well, thank you for that introduction. As you said, I'm a relationship and communication expert, and I really help people find love and keep it. You know, something that I notice often that Cindy kind of touched on is that people want to get married, but they don't necessarily want to stay married. So I do help a lot of single people with dating, with websites, with finding a partner, but then I also help people who are already in relationships or married, stay married if that's what they want, or break up if that's what they want. I do have a bias towards keeping people together because a lot of times people, you know, get obsessed with controlling other people, But the things that they can control, which are the things within themselves, they tend to neglect a little bit. And so I try to help people do the opposite, to do their own work, to do their own spiritual work. And, it's interesting. A lot of spiritual work comes up in our most intimate relationships. That's really where we see a lot of our issues and a lot of our triggers. And so it's really important to pay attention to that and to address those issues as they're coming up. Unfortunately, a lot of people avoid those issues and suppress them. And these are techniques that, again, Cindy touched on this a little bit, but these are techniques that we've learned as children when we had to develop coping mechanisms to stay on good terms with the people who own the refrigerator in our house, right? Because we need to eat and survive. Sometimes those coping mechanisms oftentimes don't serve us when we get older. And so a lot of what I'm helping people with is working through the triggers that they have in their relationships and understanding what issues are coming to the fore, both within themselves and vis-a-vis their communication with their partners or potential partners. And it's kind of amazing because I teach really simple tools. They're very actionable. They're very, it's a plan and behavioral change, a program and behavioral changes. So you do things and you get results. And that's what I'm all about, is getting results. So when I get a client, it's usually for a while until they get their result that they want, and then they're off and running. That's basically what I do.
So how did you just wind up helping people and teaching people about relationships?
Well, I always had a little flair, I will say that. But it's really from my personal experience. I found this work when I had been married 10 years. I'm now married 20 years, but at 10 years, my husband and I hit a really big speed bump, and I wasn't sure if we were going to make it over that. We have two kids as well. And so, it was really, I wanted to stay together and I still loved him. I didn't really understand why we were having problems. I didn't realize that my relationship with my mother was ruining my marriage, but it was. That was revealed to me over time. A neighbor of mine started a group with Dr. Pat Allen, who was my mentor. And I saw incredible results in her life. She went from being like a single mom, she was a teenage mom, to making like $1 million a year. Married the guy of her dreams. Like, I literally watched all her dreams come true over a period of 3 years, and I was like, I want me some of that. That's what lured me in. I've been kind of hesitant to go to traditional therapy in the past because I didn't have great experiences. Like, I'd go and we'd talk and I'd feel okay, but nothing really ever changed. So Dr. Pat, even though she is a therapist, she's different. So when I went, it was a completely different experience. Cause like I said, it's like you do things, you use tools, and hopefully I'll get into what some of those are today. But you get results. So if you want your life to change, this is a really fast road to having that happen.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. David Benedict. David has been an audio drama producer and member of Atlanta Radio Theater Company since 1996. In that time, he has played hundreds of voiceover roles and produced dozens of live performances and studio work. Today, his primary project is the daily audio drama podcast, Mercury, A Broadcast of Hope. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks very much for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate you being here. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so as was mentioned in the intro, I am an audio drama producer. For anybody that might not know what audio drama is, because as Cindy mentioned, it's not as common as it used to be. It is a radio play. Think of it as a movie, but without the visual elements. So all you get is the sounds. And so the voice is very important. We also have sound effects. We also make heavy use of music to really bring a story and an image into the head of the listener so that they can decide for themselves what certain characters look like or what certain settings look like. And it really gives producers quite a bit of flexibility because if you want to have a 20-foot monster terrorizing your countryside, that's very expensive in film, but it's really dirt cheap in audio. You can do the whole thing with just a few sound effects and a little bit of growling, and you'll be all set. For Mercury, Mercury is the only daily audio drama that I'm aware of, and it is truly daily. A lot of things that say they're daily take the weekends off. We don't. We run straight through. And we are on day 1,340 as of today.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, we've been doing it for a little while. The episodes are short, 5 to 7 minutes long is the target. And it tells the story of a group of people living in or around a college radio station broadcasting during the zombie apocalypse. And the idea is that instead of focusing on what a lot of zombie movies, television shows, and video games focus on, which is the horror and the gore and the terror and so forth, we focus more on survival and hope, helping our listeners make it from one day to the next as best they can. We like to say it's living your best life under the worst circumstances. And so we have three main characters. There's myself, I play Max O'Brien, who is the station manager. And he is a little bit of a conspiracy nut, but his heart's in the right place. We have Dr. Rosalind Clark, who's played by Diana Lancaster. She is a marine biologist by trade, but she's also an amateur historian, so we get into history quite a bit. And then we have Agnes Drew, played by Lissa Hogenson, she was an intern at the station at the time, so she was a college student. And so she has a little bit different perspective. She's a little sunnier than the other two. Tries to see the good in everybody. And then we also have like ancillary characters that come on from time to time. Jennifer Long, played by Emily Cowan. They live in a lighthouse out on the bay offshore from the station. And we've had a number of other characters that have come on from time to time. And one other interesting thing, we've changed up the zombie lore just a little bit. Our zombies are actually hydrophobic, so they can be stopped by water. And also, rather than using a virus, which is what most zombie stories say caused the outbreak, ours is caused by a protozoan parasite that we did not reveal that until day 1000. That was our big reveal for our 1000th broadcast.
Wow, it sounds fun. How do you get in the mood to get in for the character?
So the character is largely based off of me, to be perfectly honest. I'm not really a conspiracy nut, but I do find them interesting. and the series is very autobiographical. Like all three of us and all the other writers who have contributed to the series have pulled heavily from their own personal experiences and finding all the little tragedies that we all endure throughout our lives and how we overcame them. I encourage people constantly to submit episodes or episode ideas, something they want us to talk about. They can either write it themselves or they can just tell us, like, I would like an episode about this. And we cover a wide variety of topics, as you would have to if you're going to do a new thing every day. But we've had people write in with their medical conditions that they want to talk about, how they're coping with those things, stuff like that. And I should also mention that if you're thinking about getting into the series, A, don't get intimidated by the episode count, because we very carefully craft each episode to make sure that if there's anything that you need to know from a previous episode, we cover it again, so you're not lost and don't know what's going on. And secondly, we have a different distribution model because we are trying to emulate a terrestrial radio broadcast. And so each episode every day is only available for 24 hours. And then you listen for it. And if you miss it, then it's gone and you get the next day's episode. And if you want to catch up on that back catalog, you do have to support us. We're on patreon.com/mercuryradio. $1 a month gets you access to all 1,340 and going episodes.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I want to go over to Cindy for a minute because you mentioned audio drama. What is your experience with audio drama?
Well, actually, I've been a playwright since I graduated from college a million years ago. And this particular play, because it's about the Holocaust, the character that's the lead character, Dr. Casper, kind of haunted me since 1980. And I didn't know what to do with it, although I had pretty much the whole plot. I had to do a lot of research about the Holocaust, about Vienna in 1909 and all of that. But it didn't seem to be something that I wanted to stage. It seemed something that I wanted, because I like audio drama a lot. I listen to it a lot. And I felt it would be really interesting maybe to be driving in your car one day and just hearing this 100-year-old man telling you about his life, that you would feel he's sharing a secret that he's never shared. And he's telling you the secret to his longevity. And, you know, when it was aired at Clifton Library in New Jersey, Public Library in New Jersey, they did it like a Zoom of it recently, which was amazing because I just finished it. And it's very unusual to finish something and have someone ready to read it. And what the audience said was it was fascinating to just listen to this, because they just kept getting drawn into this character and his plot and his feelings. And audio, as David said, is a different medium. It's very intimate. It makes you feel like this person is sharing something with me that they've not shared with anyone else, and you just get mesmerized by it. And it happens to be basically a long monologue, although there are some characters in the nursing home and an aide, but it's really him telling his story. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, people can't listen to a long monologue. Well, people told me they were fascinated by it, like, because the writing is sort of mesmerizing, and it's you kind of trying to figure out what is he talking about. And when you finally hear his secret, the audience said they were so beyond shocked that it hit them. And then he goes on to talk more. And when you hear his secret, it all makes more sense. So audio drama is brilliant. We should really have more of it. Like I was saying about your show, I watched some of them and I didn't know you had a podcast. I just put it on, you know, when I was going about my life in my house, and I kept listening to it, and it was fascinating to listen to it like a podcast. So because of podcasts, people are more used to hearing things. So drama, radio drama is fascinating because you have the sound effects. Like he was saying, it's cheaper to do. They don't have to memorize this long monologue. They could, you know, he could be reading from it. So I just was fascinated. It just was finally, after all these years of not, almost 40 years of not knowing what to do with it, when I put it into a radio drama, it just gelled. So it was just the right medium for it.
Just took off. Now, Chloe, I'm going to do an audio drama, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be called Sharifa Finds Love. Okay? Work with me, Chloe. So I need some tools. I need the scene. Like, what am I going to work on?
Okay, so where are you at? Are you single? Are you dating anyone?
I'm not dating anyone.
Okay. Are you on the apps?
I'm not on the apps. I've been on the apps 862 times. Now I'm just like, you know what? Yes.
Okay. Okay. So there are a few things that were you my client? And you are welcome to become my client, of course.
Of course.
I'm available for private consultation, and I also do groups on the audio only app Quilt, which I totally am down with this audio thing. Those are on Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, if anyone wants to tune in to that. So what I start with is basically establishing if you want to hold the masculine energy in the relationship or the feminine energy in the relationship. And there's a lot of confusion about what those terms mean. Mm-hmm. Like,
I just cut you off. I didn't mean to. I just wanted to say that, which is genius, because I think she's psychic too, Cindy. I don't know. I don't know if it's a part of it. So. But it is part of my conversation on why I was like, I want a relationship. I want to get married, because I have a lot of friends, a lot of girlfriends. And I say, I always wind up being the man in this whole circle. So I always do all the driving. I have to figure out, you know, I always have to be sober because I don't drink and drive. I have to take care of the parking. I'm like, I don't want to be the man anymore. I want to go around the car, get in the passenger side, and just ride.
Right. And that's what happens to a lot of us alpha women who are really intelligent, right? But we also have a feminine side too. So we have a strong feminine side and a strong masculine side. And unfortunately, one of the side effects of feminism, which I'm a total feminist and I love, but it's an economic movement. It's not really a psychological movement. And so a lot of women have found themselves in this position. Well, oh yeah, I am really capable. I can do it all. But do I want to really always be doing it all? Like, please let me sit back and receive. So it sounds to me like you want to be the feminine in the relationship. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So that means feminine traits. Feminine is the world of yin. It's the world of feelings. It's sensuality. It's creativity, nonlinear thinking. It's the right hemisphere of the brain. Passive, patient, vulnerable. The metaphor for feminine is flowers, okay? Receiving. Feminine is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world, okay? Masculine, competitive, conquering, controlling. It's the world of ideas. Men rule stuff. The metaphor for masculine is bricks. It's yang. It's doing. It's taking care of. It's nurturing. It's giving. A lot of people get confused on that. And they're like, no, isn't nurturing feminine? No. When a woman is a mom and in that role, that's actually a masculine role because you're giving, you're advocating, you're taking care of. So there's usually some confusion on that. Now, I'm saying men, woman. I'm saying feminine, masculine. I'm saying yin, yang. It's all about energy. So it doesn't mean that if you're a man, you can't hold the feminine energy, or you're the woman, you can't hold the masculine. You can absolutely hold the energy that is authentic to you. So don't get like bogged down with any traditional gender definitions of it. So since you want to be in the feminine, my first assignment for you is to do the five flirts. Okay.
Got to write this down.
Yeah. Write this down. So that means four flirts will be on the hoof. So that's like while you're walking, you go into Starbucks, you're at the grocery store, wherever you see someone who catches your eye, you're going to give him 5 seconds of eye contact and a smile. And you got to count that out because it's a long time. So it's like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Okay.
So I just had a question, teacher. So does this mean that I have to leave my house?
Yeah. Unless you want to go back on the apps. Then
I'm just making sure I'm doing this correctly.
Yeah. You're going to have to leave the house. And then one day a week, you're going to have to plant yourself somewhere. So it's somewhere where you like the guys. Maybe it's the Starbucks across the street from the fire station. Maybe it's the polo grounds. Maybe it's a hotel bar. Some of my clients learn how to golf just to meet men. Or women, whoever you want. And you're going to plant yourself 45 minutes to an hour and bring a book, go alone, or bring your phone. And then when somebody comes in who catches your eye, you can give them the 5 seconds of eye contact and the smile. And then they know it's okay to approach. Okay. So 4 walking flirts, 1 seated flirt. And then my next thing to you is, whoever asks you out, unless you have a really bad gut instinct, like he's dangerous or something, I want you to go. Because for women, chemistry can build and it can take up to 3 dates, okay? So you're gonna do a little duty dating. And even if you're not super interested in the guy, you're gonna go because you're gonna practice some of these tools. You're gonna be practicing being passive, patient, and vulnerable. When you're in the feminine energy, you get your feelings cherished first. When you're in the masculine energy, you get your thoughts respected first. We all want both, but we set up this protocol for awkward situations like first dates and for conflict resolutions. So when you go on your date, you're going to be listening. He's going to be asking you the questions. You're going to be answering. You're going to be in that passive, patient, vulnerable role. So you're not going to be competing to see who's smarter, who's better, who has more money. That's not
me,
what you're
doing. I'm smarter. Me. I just know
when there is no competition.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm a competitive person.
Same. I know it too. And the truth is, most women are smarter than men because we have bigger brains.
Poor David.
Okay.
For David. David, you okay?
David, I'm sorry. David, I think you have a big brain. We love you.
I know my capabilities and my worth.
Left-handed men, anatomically gay men, are exceptions. But most women have, like, it's been studied, have a bigger brain, have this big limbic corpus callosum in the front. So that makes it harder for us and easier for us, both, right? But a true man isn't really going to want to compete with his woman, right? He doesn't want to, you know. So some of these tools help you step back a little bit and receive, because if you're always talking and you're always giving and you're always doing and you're asking out and you're controlling everything, then you don't have an opportunity to receive. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I want to receive. That's what I want to do.
Right. Even if you know how to do it better, you keep your mouth shut a little bit.
So I think that was the key. The key of everything Chloe just said was learn. Is that what you got out of it, Belle? Because all I got was learn how to keep your mouth shut.
And that God can't airdrop your lover into your bedroom. You do have to leave the house, okay? You can't come FedExed, okay?
Yeah, but they're pretty close with the apps. I mean, you can get a lot going on the apps.
Yes. I mean, let me tell you a true story. This is a true story. I saw, because everything in my life, that's what I'm saying. Everything in my life is delivered. I don't leave the house for much. And this is prior to COVID, like years before. So even my laundry is delivered to my house. So I saw the guy who delivers my laundry on an online dating app. And I told him, I was like, I saw you on there. He's like, yeah, I got to get off of there. And I'm like, okay. So I didn't follow up, but he could have been the one. He showed up at my front door, and all my friends say that you got to leave the house. He's not just going to show up at your front door, but I don't know.
It depends how much you're doing from the house. Obviously during COVID, people were doing a ton of stuff from their house. So, you know, there was a lot more happening on the apps and a lot more virtual dating that was happening on the apps. Like people, let's make a pizza together, you know, and setting up that time. And, you know, it just depends if that's for you or not. I think a combination often works really well, but some people really don't like the apps. Some people really want to be in person. And then we have the opposite as well, you know?
Well, and there's different approaches for every person. And I would say one of the key things I took away from what Chloe was saying is that she has a system, which obviously appeals to me. And it sounds like it's an adaptable system, right, that takes into consideration what the individuals are really looking for, where their comfort zones are. And that resonates back for a lot of the work that I do. Looking at the panelists, Sharifa, you had mentioned the theme of today was likely to be relationships. And I think that's already proving to be true, whether it's explicitly relationships as we tend to think about them in the romantic sense, or the relationship between the audience and the performers, the relationship between leaders and the people they are trying to lead, right? Leaders without followers are not leaders. Having people who report to you in an organizational structure does not make you a leader, right? You have to have that relationship, that bond. And I have a bit of a theater background as well. I stage managed all through college. I started on stage, got through freshman and fall auditions, realized I was totally outclassed, was happy for everyone else and wandered off backstage, which I loved and set me up for my career. But even, you know, part of why I say I maintain in the work that I do that understanding of the humanity is because to be an effective organization, you have to have an understanding of the relationships to give the take what other people need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a really good point, because actually most successful relationships are balanced this way. On my IG, which is Chloe's_consciousness_training, I break down a lot of reality TV. And one of the things that to show the dynamics of this work, to show these tools like on its feet, because it's really practical. And that's what I love about it, is like you look at TV, you can look at books, you can look at movies, you can hear the people talking next to you. But there's one episode of House Hunters that I broke down, which is actually a business relationship. But one of the guys in the partnership is the very like creative kind of, you know, feelings, gut instinct based person. And the other one is the logic, the linear, doing the books with the math. And so they have a very successful business because it's balanced in this way. And so what you're saying is absolutely true. Relationships are very much a give and take. And the languaging and the dynamics that I teach is all about negotiating with love, is what I call it, because you inquire with the other person and you are sensitive to where the other person is. For example, you know, I'm being in my masculine right now with you guys because we're doing a work thing. With my husband, I'm a little bit more feminine, right, in my private time. And then if I was with a different guy, I might be even more feminine or more masculine. So there is room for adjustment, just like the yin yang symbol is that dynamic sloping wave. That's the nature of energy. That's the nature of relationships. And this is about energy.
And from David and Cindy, I'm curious to hear more about how that relationship dynamic plays out with this sort of one to many format that you both have some experience with, right? In the radio, when you're in a live theater, back in the before times, right? There is a real time dynamic relationship between the performers and the audience. But in something like an audio drama, it's broadcast, right? We've used the word broadcast several times, but my gut is that there is still a relationship, and I'm curious for the performance, for the creative edge, how does that relationship play out when it's not a real-time feedback loop?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're correct. In a live performance, as a performer myself, I do draw on the energy from the audience. One of my very favorite memories was we do a lot of science fiction conventions with the Atlanta Radio Theater Company. And we were at Dragon Con one year, and we've been a mainstay at Dragon Con since the very beginning. And I was on stage, I was introducing the company, I was introducing the play we were about to do. And I said, I'm not in this, but you know, you're gonna have a great time. And I was like an audible aw from the audience, who were like, oh, you're not gonna be in this. We're very disappointed. I was very touched. And I can also tell you, having performed the same roles in the studio and then taken that same role to a live performance setting, there is absolutely that relationship between the performer and the audience. Like, I want to give them my very best. And I played Frankenstein's monster in one of our plays once. And I had held back during all these rehearsals and everything like that. But when we got to the performance, I just let it all hang out. And then when the play was over and it was time for me to read the credits, I was like, I can't talk. Somebody needs to do this for me. And as far as Mercury is concerned, even though that is recorded in a studio setting, or actually these days we're using Skype, but even though it's a studio setting, we still have that relationship with our audience, because the format of the show is that we are speaking directly to them. Even though there are no zombies in the real world, everybody has their own personal zombies that might take the form of something else, whether that's loneliness or addiction or abuse or what have you, medical conditions. Everybody has survived something. And so even though we're speaking in a fictional universe with fictional monsters, those fictional monsters can stand in for whatever you might have survived in your own past. And so we speak directly to our audience. We take feedback from our audience, people who will leave us comments or send us messages and say things like, hey, I really appreciated you talking about this, or, oh, I disagree with this. We had one listener who was very supportive, very interactive, who finally said, you know what, forget it. I can't deal with y'all and your attitudes on this particular subject. And I'm like, I'm coming at this from a perspective of history and compassion. And if you don't share that, then, you know, that's on you. But yeah, the definitely very strong relationship dynamics go on between performer and audience, even in remote settings like the one we're in right now.
Like, I had to do a lot of Zoom plays, you know, as a playwright this year, because we weren't just going to let them, you know, like a year go by. So I did write one about dating app, you know, it was called To the Zoom and Back, about two lively senior citizens that meet on a dating app and they decide to have a virtual date. And it worked very well to do it. And of course, you're so used to having live audiences, but you just found, you know, you just find a way to make it work. And it's kind of, I guess, like making a movie. When you're making a movie, you're not really having an audience feedback, you know, and you don't know how the audience is going to respond in a movie theater. So we kind of had to give it that feeling of a play, but still not getting immediate responses back. And, you know, we were able to make a lot of chemistry. And that's why I tell people they could do virtual dates during COVID. You could have FaceTime or Zoom and have chemistry going on. It's just a little bit altering and changing the energy. But I found my actors who were used to being in front of a live audience got a little thrown off at first, and then they just learned to adapt. Like, isn't that life? Let's just reinvent and adapt to the situation. And that's what we all had to do, is just adapt.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of my friends also are stand-up comics, and I always discuss the difference between performing live, because, you know, I don't you know, I'm not a comedian, but I enjoy hosting stand-up comedy events. And there's something about the energy of a live audience, the feedback, you know, you can come up with a comment or expression just based on what someone is saying or doing in the audience. And it's just an energy that being live in person has that I haven't been able to find in Zoom. Things are opening up here in California, so I'm excited about that. Maybe I'll be able to go, yes, and sit down and watch some stand-up comedy. Now, Cindy, I have a question for you, because I've taken Chloe's class and Chloe said I gotta leave the house, but she said I might can do a combination. I might do online dating, I might, you know, do a combination, I might flirt with my laundry delivery guy, I don't know. But do people just come to you and go, Cindy, I don't want to do the work, I don't want to do it, I just want to know, what does God or what does spirit say about dating? I don't want to read the book, I don't want to learn about my past relationships, I don't want to do anything but find out what the future holds or what I need to know. Do you have people who have that experience?
Oh, sure. And, you know, of course, I'll tell them that's, you know, that's great. And, you know, if you want love, that's half the battle. You have to really want love. And I, you know, I'll make them do a little work even if they don't want to, because I'll just ask some probing questions. And, you know, sometimes people are closet commitment phobics. They say they want love, and yet they don't do anything to find it. And when it's offered to them, they find a million excuses why it's not the right time. They're too fat. They need to lose weight. They play the game of blemish, all the things that are wrong with them or with the person. And they just keep playing these mind games that don't allow them to be open to love. So I tell them, first of all, you have to be open to love and you have to make space for love. You know, you even if you just clean a drawer, because the person may need to use a drawer. But do you have time for love if your life is so full? Maybe you need to make some space for love. So let's just sign up for a course. The best way to find love is just sometimes to meet new friends, to open up your soul group, because our soulmate's part of our soul group. So if you sign up for a class and maybe you won't meet your dream person there, but you might meet a new friend who this person is their brother or their sister or their friend. It's expanding your friendship world. And that means making some space. You took a course that gave a little space. So it's also just figuring out that maybe you're looking for too many specifics. You know, you want him to be tall, dark, or handsome. I love my clients that are 16. The guy's got to have hair. I'm like, you just eliminated a huge population.
We counted David out.
You just,
yeah,
you,
like, what's so special about hair?
I know. You just knocked off like 60% of the male population right there. So let's not write down specific things. Soulmates have a built-in chemistry. God is very brilliant. Soulmates are supposed to keep each other from the temptations of the world. So believe me, that sexual chemistry is built into it. But write down what your ideal soulmate would be like in positive terms. Invisible traits, loyal, kind, your best friend, whatever things that, and you have to have those traits. You know, you can't ask for a loyal person when you're not a loyal person. Hardworking if you're not. So write down those traits, and you know, that's telling the universe, I'm ready for love. And like Chloe was saying, maybe he's not your dream guy or girl, and you're like, oh, I don't even want to bother. Well, give it a chance. You know, step outside of your comfort zone. Enjoy the date. Okay, you know, you don't need a prenup to have a cup of coffee. Okay, just have a cup of coffee. Okay. Talk. If it doesn't work, say, you know, you're a great guy or girl, you're wonderful, you know, I wish you luck and this has been great. But be kind. And everyone's nervous on these first dates. So, you know, tell them, look, I'm a little nervous. Talk about your nervousness. I don't tend to believe that you can't talk about any serious topics the first date. Soulmates, if it is a soulmate, get very intense very quickly. So, you know, talk about different topics. Don't moan and complain about your ex and things like that, you know, but, you know, talk about whatever seems to stem from, you know, what's going on. And maybe if it doesn't work, but he's a really nice guy you met, maybe you could introduce him to your friend. Okay. You know, people are good matchmakers. Like, he's not right for me, but I think you might be great for my friend Rhonda or whatever. Like, if it's a nice person that you've met, introduce him to some other female friends and let, you know, people meet these other people, so that you can have your own sort of, you know, you don't need a dating app per se, but, you know, share who you've met that's a nice person.
Yes, I think that's wonderful advice. I'm gonna find some new relationships for all of my friends, because they need it, so they can stop calling me and asking me to take them everywhere. Now, Bill, I want to go back over to you because one of the things that we talk about quite often, and you mentioned earlier, is this whole idea about relationships. But I think the key is, and what you focus on, is the relationship of the nonprofit. You honed into that because from what memory serves me, we talked about on previous shows, is that everyone was so focused on the for-profit and the nonprofit leaders were struggling. They're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to move forward. And so that's one of the reasons you focused on that specific niche.
Yeah, it's a combination of two main factors. One is this notion that, well, in the for-profit world, there's been a recognition, particularly in the last decade, that relationships drive value, that different perspectives drive value, but the perspectives are useless if there's no reception for them, right? That delivery of a new perspective and the reception of an inclusion of it, that's at the heart of relationships. And so there's been an effort to open people's minds, bring these relationships together in the for-profit world. Now in the nonprofit world is all about relationships, but the focus has been primarily on the relationships between the nonprofits and their constituents. And so a huge driving motivator for me has been to help these nonprofit leaders recognize the importance and the value of having an equally deep and meaningful relationship within their organization and with their staff members. And realistically, the same way that those deep relationships drive value for a for-profit company, they drive better delivery of the services, of the support to constituents when nonprofits are functioning as that deep and meaningfully supportive organization.
Absolutely. Now, I want to go over to you, David, for a moment, because again, what we kind of talked about today was relationships. But when you're doing audio drama, you also have to develop a sort of relationship with the cast. You have to be able to relate. It's a scene that you're finding. Are there any ways that you work on building that relationship with the cast?
Yeah. So sometimes we'll do warm-up exercises before we do a rehearsal. Mercury team has known each other for a little while now, so we don't normally have to do that. But with the rest of the company, we will frequently do warm-up exercises, little icebreaker stuff. Sometimes we do improv, although a lot of people don't really like it. Atlanta Radio Theater Company is a nonprofit, but we're also pretty informal, and so a lot of folks just show up because they think it's fun. And so, you know, if we're making them do all this extra work, sometimes they don't stick around. But Atlanta Radio Theater prides itself on being kind of a little bit of a family. And so when new people come in, we try to, you know, be welcoming and integrate them into the family so that they can be more comfortable. Because when you're more comfortable with your castmates, you're going to give a more genuine and honest performance. If it's really difficult to get in touch with your character if you're not comfortable with your castmates. So that's super, super important.
Absolutely. You have to be comfortable in order to get in that moment and get that emotion and allow it to come out. I think it's wonderful. This has been a very interesting show, incredible conversation. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. We're going to start with you, Chloe.
Okay. Well, I just want to speak to anybody out there who is looking for love or is trying to make their relationship work. Please hit me up because this work really gets results. And if you've tried everything and nothing's worked, I guarantee you will meet people, you will do work, you will get through this. We will get through this journey together. Because like I said, you know, my clients get results. One of my clients just got married, and I'm just hearing success stories all the time, which is why I love doing this work. It also has the great side effect of making you a better person and making the world a better place. So reach out to me. You can find me on my website, chloesconsciousnesstraining.squarespace.com, my IG, chloes_consciousness_training. And I wrote a book about this work, How to Live, Find Love and Keep It. And this is a handbook. It's available on Amazon. And it's really meant to augment my teachings and this work. So you can refer to stuff and it's, you can look at things quickly. It's short, it's less than 100 pages, but it's profound. So you will, it'll be something that you can refer back to time and again. And nobody really does want to be alone. Most people want to be in relationships. The challenges come up in our relationships because that's where all our childhood trauma and our issues erupt. And so, you know, you need a guide. You need somebody to help you. No one does this work alone. So please reach out. And I'm also on Quilt, audio only app, on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific. So I look forward to talking to you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Chloe. David, what do you have for us?
So I just want to echo that same thing that Chloe was just talking about how we're all going to get through this together. That is like the centralized theme of Mercury, a broadcast of hope. And I encourage everybody to check out the show. You can find out more about us at artc.org. Don't go to artc.com. The Australian Rail Track Corporation will not help you. So it is artc.org. You can find out about Mercury. You can find out about all of our other catalog. We've got a lot of horror and science fiction that's really, really great, if I do say so myself. And I also want to make everybody aware, Cindy's mentioned it several times about how audio drama is not as common as it used to be, but it is having a bit of a resurgence right now. Back in the mid-90s when I first got involved, we were like really one of like maybe a dozen companies nationwide. And now there are new ones popping up every day. So if anybody wants to find out about some really great audio drama, you can either contact me through the artc.org website, or you can just get on Twitter and search for hashtag audio drama Sunday. Because everybody's tagging themselves and giving follow recommendations and other stuff like that. So it is a burgeoning art form. It's one of my favorite things. I love sound. I love imagination. I love that kind of storytelling. Really gives the audience an opportunity to immerse themselves in the story in a way that other media really just can't.
Thank you, David. Cindy, what do you have for us?
Well, I would hope that in talking with me, you would realize that we have a lot of gifts that we maybe didn't discover when we were young, since I mentioned how I became a psychic when I was 41, and how we have many other kinds of gifts and maybe don't typecast people. Sometimes it's hard for people to understand if I'm a psychic medium, then how am I a relationship expert, how am I a playwright, how am I a radio host, how can you be doing all these different things? Because people have a lot of gifts and, you know, we have all kinds of media now. Like, don't say I'm too old to learn Zoom. I'm too old to learn social media. No, it's never been easier to promote yourself, to get your word out there. With the pandemic, it leveled the playing field. Hollywood was shut down. Now, all of a sudden, people were looking to David's audio drama or maybe my Zoom plays or people's Zoom events. And, you know, it's not just belonging to a handful of people that should control what you're watching, seeing, and learning. So learn how to have your own radio show. I have one on Blog Talk Radio. It's www.blogtalkradio/higherlove. I've been doing that since about 2008. And we have call-ins and people ask about their career or their love or different questions. I also have a website, grantmeahigherlove.com. And, you know, I'm a nonfiction writer. I'm a playwright. We can do many different things. Don't typecast yourself. Don't say you can't learn. You know, YouTube it, Google it. People should be more brilliant than ever. It's easier to be a writer than ever. I don't have to go to a library with a list of words that I, you don't know how to spell. I can just go right there. And it's, if it's not spell checked, I can Google the word. So learn, grow. Don't hit a reset button at a certain age. You hit 50, now I'm not going to learn anything. Learn. Keep learning and growing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cindy. Belle, what, another show, another terrific show. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that this is exactly why I come back again and again and again. So the nerd in me loves to always imagine a Venn diagram, those overlapping circles of the guests on any particular week. And I think probably the most overlap today has been between Cindy and Chloe, with that fabulous relationship advice from both of them. And then I see Cindy skewing more into that spirituality, Chloe more into that deep step-by-step practicality, which I love seeing how people can work together, complement each other in the same field. Of course, David's ability to bring that relationship between his creativity and his audience to his colleagues just absolutely moves me. And for me, if you see nonprofit leaders who are looking for some of those practical steps to really deeply build the relationships within their organizations so that they can really up-level the support and services that they're bringing to their constituents, send them to nfpbootcamp.com. That's not-for-profit, nfpbootcamp.com. And if you know a leader with a technical background who would have listened to this episode and rolled their eyes constantly, it doesn't mean they don't need to build relationships, but maybe it would help them to see that relationship building through the lens of their technical skills. And they would be great candidates for my Manage Like an Engineer workshop on July 20th. Thank you so much for having me, Sharifa.
Of course, you have to come back so we can find out about what's going on and your latest updates. I hope you all decide to come back. This has been an incredible show. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. Please go ahead and share the show. But as always, I invite you to support our guests. Our guests were here this morning to share their information, their business, their passion, their journey with you. So please support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.